I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Mark chapter 14. I'm going to do something today. Is that a little loud or is that me? It's me either way, right? Mark 14. I'm going to do something today that I've only been in church for, let's see, what's it been? April 3rd, 1977, so whatever that is. Let's see. Wednesday will be 36 years. Wednesday will be 36 years. I've never heard anybody do this. But today we're gonna read the Easter story. The Easter story is, I'm going to read it out of the book of Mark today. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the first four books of the New Testament. They're called the Gospels. Okay? The word Gospel means the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, or the good news of Jesus. And today, this is called Resurrection Day. We call it Easter. The word Easter is in the Bible. But we as believers call it Resurrection Day. It's the day that Jesus got up from the dead, which gives us hope that we can have life from the dead. Don't have to exist. We could live. You want to live?
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Look at Mark 14, and let's start reading. After 2 days, well, before we read, Father, I don't want to just read. I ask that you would first prepare our hearts. God, it was awesome in the worship, but Lord, we want to take right now and make sure that nothing is between us and you, Jesus. Nothing would hinder what you want to do in our hearts, Holy Spirit. And we just want to open ourselves up to you. We want to bring you all of our needs, concerns, all the stuff that would be in the way, the matter, the things we're full of. We want to bring them to you and give them to you and ask, Father, would you take care of these things for us? And he's like, I got it. Just give it to me. Now trust me. Let me do it in my time and in my way. Now, Father, we're asking that you would open our hearts, prepare us, help us to hear your word, help us to see you today, Jesus, to see the whole story unfold of your crucifixion, your passion, your resurrection. And Lord, we just want to see you, Jesus, like we've never seen you before. And we commit this into your hand, ask you to do what only you can do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Mark 14, start with verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover. This was a holiday, a holy day. The word holiday means holy day. And it was of the Jews when they celebrated, when they were delivered out of Egypt. They were delivered out of the power of the enemy. And what it was when they had to sacrifice a lamb for their salvation. They killed a lamb, and they took the blood, and they put it on the doorpost of a house. Pretend this is a house. They took the blood, they put it on hyssop, or like a little bush or branch, and they put it on the side, they put it on the top, and they put it on the side. And the reason was because that was supposed to picture Jesus coming. They didn't even know about it. This was like hundreds of years before Jesus came. It was called the Passover. And the Jews were supposed to celebrate it every year to remind them of getting delivered out of the hand of the enemy. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Jesus by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, a certain city, in the house of Simon the leper. I got it. I'm fine. In the house of Simon the leper. How would you like to be known as that? Glenn the leper. You see? And he got healed, but he was a leper. He was an outcast. They wouldn't let him in society. And yet Jesus healed this man, but he was still known as Simon the leper because it was such a miracle. And Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. Or it was perfumes. And she broke the box and poured it on Jesus' head. And there were some there, some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? I'm just going to give you a little note here. Anything you do in the name of Jesus is not a waste. Last week, we brought this in, and I wanted to share it with you. It's been in my house for years, and I just wanted to share it with you because I felt like God wanted you to enjoy in it, and there was a message for you. And I was trying to hang it up here on the stand, and two men in this church this week, God touched their hearts, and they saw a need that there was a way for this because it fell last week, and the men saw a need, and what they did was they went and they bought a couple little hooks, and they put it on here to be there. God takes notice of every little thing we do. I go into people's homes in my business, and they have said to me, could I give you a cup of water? And I say, are you just trying to get a Matthew 10:42 blessing? And they say, what's that? I said, the word says, if you give to drink a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, not even in the name of Jesus, but just, I'm giving it to you in the name of Sue Hampton. He said, you shall in no wise lose your reward. God takes notice of every little thing we do. It's not little to Him. Nothing is too little to Him. God, this will be brought up in heaven. Every little thing we do. We think it's not anything. Just treating people nice. Just caring for somebody. Just not retaliating when they deserve retaliation. Sorry, I'm getting excited. Okay. There were some that had the indignation. Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence or a lot of money and have been given to the poor. Do you think they were really worried about the poor? And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought or worked a good work on me. He said, because you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. He said, when you want to give the poor, do it. He said, but this lady was ministering to me. She hath done what she could. If we stopped here today and you just meditated on those, I think it's five words there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll be able to count pretty soon. It's a good thing I took my shoes off so I could count higher. She hath done what she could. Well, I'm not as gifted as Brother Glenn. I can't paint all these pictures like Sister Sue. I can't sing like Wayne or Nate or Janaya. What can you do? What is He asking you to do? What is He putting on your heart to do? Man, I just want to preach, Lord. You tell me, just keep reading. Verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand or before to anoint my body to the burying. Jesus says, she's coming and anointing me for my burial. He was telling them, I'm getting ready to die. Can I say it right now, Lord? Last Saturday, we were impressed by God to have a birthday party for Richard. Do you know Richard? Last Sunday, Richard was here. But he was sick, got sick in our service, and he couldn't stay. Monday, he was moved into hospice. Hospice came, found out, asked him a couple of questions, and immediately took him to hospice. Tuesday, at 5:20 a.m., Richard graduated to heaven to be with his Jesus. He told us that he had peace, and he knew 100% that he was going to heaven, and he had peace with God. If you ever wonder about this silly resale shop and all the stuff we do here, and it's not all highfalutin and whatever, when you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, you know, if you know Jesus, you'll be there, but I don't know that you know him yet. You know about him, but do you know him? When you get to heaven, you walk up to Richard and you say, what did you think about that silly resale shop? What did you think about that wasn't all everything? What do you think about it? And he said, you know what? I had never walked into church in 61 years. And I walked into this place because I thought it was a resale shop, and y'all just tricked me to Jesus. He said, I walked in here and y'all just loved me to Jesus. He said, I just couldn't escape. I had to come back every day. He said, you had that hook in me and I couldn't get away. He said, because I'm hooked on love. I'm hooked on being accepted for who I am. Verse 8, verily, Jesus said, truly, of a truth, I say unto you, wheresoever, anywhere this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that this woman hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 that followed Jesus, went unto the chief priest to betray Jesus unto them. And when they heard it, the chief priests, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray Jesus. In the first day of unleavened bread, that Passover that we were talking about, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man or the owner of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he, the owner, will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, and came into the city, and found exactly as Jesus had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. You'd almost think he was God, wouldn't you? He just knew everything. I mean, did y'all get that? Okay. He is God. And in the evening, he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. Can I talk about that, Aaron? And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? Is it me? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. That's eating right here close by me. And he's right so close that he's dipping in the same dish I am. Probably eating hummus. You know what hummus is? If you do, it is good stuff, okay? The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, the new agreement with God, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung an hymn, like we were singing at the beginning of the service, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, now this is his close disciples, his close followers, handpicked 12. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. I didn't know I was going to say this. I'm going to say this. Back in, before 1993, God told me this many times, but in 93, without telling you the whole story, God confirmed to me that I'm going to be martyred for my faith in America. I'm going to be put to death for my faith in America. Now, years ago, you wouldn't hardly believe that could happen. Now, with who's in the White House and what all he's doing, I can see that. I don't even know if you know what goes on. I get all these writings and stuff. If you only knew what was going on in the background, you need to be prepared. If they came and cut my head off today, do you know what I'm trying to do here? Richard's brother and sister-in-law came to me on Sunday, yesterday at the graduation ceremony over at the funeral home. I forgot. That's fun. It is fun because he's going to heaven. The funeral home. They came to me and they said, actually they said it. They said, when did they say it? I guess it was at the funeral home. No, it was at the showing the night before. And they came to me and said, we want to ask you to forgive us. We feel bad because we asked Pastor Glenn to do the funeral. And I said, I would have felt bad if you would have asked me. They said, but we feel bad. We should have asked you. You're the head pastor or whatever. And I said, don't you understand? I'm trying to work myself out of a job. Don't you understand? These are ministers in training. I am like, I couldn't be more happy than you having him do that. I said, I wouldn't want to do it. I'd feel like I was in his place. He's being trained. You're being trained. When they cut my head off, who's going to stand up here? Who's going to lead? I'm asking you. God is trying to raise you up. Are you being raised up? Or are you getting bogged down with stuff? Are you under the water? Falling in the water? Lord, save me. I'm drowning. Or are you learning to walk in the water? You're learning to live above circumstances. You're learning to hang out with Jesus. You're learning how to take everything to him and quit trying to carry it yourself. Are you learning here? Are you growing? Because God has a call on your life. I'm not going to be here all the time. And when I'm not, who's going to step forward? Who are you going to be like with the disciples of Jesus? When they came and they took Jesus, his disciples, and they all fled. They all forsook him. They all ran and hid. Because I don't want you to hide. This isn't Harvey's church. This is God's church. Yes? This is God's church. And you are God's people. And you know what? God has a plan for you. And he has a call on your life. And you need to be getting prepared. You need to be stepping into that. And those of you that I'm watching do that, every one of you to some degree, it just excites me. But I just see there's so much more he's wanting to do. So much more. I'm trying to not talk. I'm trying to just read here, but where was it? But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter said unto him, although all these other ones are going to be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, Peter, that this day, even in this night, before the cock, before the rooster crow twice, you're going to deny me three times. Thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. I have to stop and just tell you, you have to get prepared. Don't think you're going to be a super Christian. You have to get prepared to stand in the day. Do you understand? This is a training center for ministers. There's many churches you can go into in this town, and they're good. There's other good churches. But this is a training center for ministers to help you get trained up, get disciplined, develop character for the life of Jesus to be inside of you and then to live outside of you as you live in Him, to let Him flow to others. Boy, I'm feeling better. Thank you, Jesus. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, wine press. And He saith to His disciples, now He's got the 12 disciples. He says, sit ye here. Actually, He's got 11 of them. He says, sit ye here while I shall pray. And He taketh with Him three guys, Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Jesus knew He was about to be crucified. Tarry ye here and watch. And He went forward a little, and He fell on the ground, and He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, all things are possible unto Thee. You can do anything. Take away this cup from me, this thing that You sent me here to do. Because I'm so heavy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Nevertheless, not what I will, not what I want, but what Thou wilt. And He cometh and findeth His followers sleeping, and saith unto Peter, there was more responsibility on Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Do you sleep? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again He went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when He returned, He found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they, neither knew they what to answer Him. And then He cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. In other words, I'm ready. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, check it out. He that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while He yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, one of the close followers of Jesus, sitting right next to Him, dipping in the same dish. Immediately cometh Judas, and with him a great multitude of people with swords and staves, sticks, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they were sent by them. And he that betrayed Jesus, Judas, had given them, the crowd, a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway unto Jesus and saith, Master, Master, and he kissed him. And they laid their hands on Jesus, and they took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, hey, it's not a time to fight. Are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. He said, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Verse 50. I bet as I'm reading this morning and Jesus is remembering, I can see tears running down His face when He hears me read this verse. Verse 50. And they all forsook Him and fled. And there followed Jesus a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men, as they went to lay hold on him, trying to get away from them, he left the linen cloth and fled away from them naked. He was so scared. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. And Peter, his right-hand man, followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at their fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for a witness against Jesus to put him to death. And they found none. But there were many that bare false witness or lied against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But neither so did their witness agree together. And the chief priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Answerest thou nothing?'" Jesus wasn't answering a word. "What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned Jesus to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on Jesus and to cover his face and to buffet him or beat him and to say unto him, you can prophesy, then prophesy. Who hit you with your face covered? And the servants did strike Jesus with the palms of their hands. And as Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out in the porch, and the cock, the rooster, crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, hey, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." We can tell by your accent. We can tell by the words coming out of your mouth. Now here's this right-hand man of Jesus, and he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crew, the rooster crowed, and Peter recalled to his mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. And straightway immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they tied up Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to the leader of the land, which was called Pilate, head in the Roman Empire. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it, you say it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but Jesus answered them nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Are you not going to answer them? Behold, how many things they witness against you." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate, the leader, marveled. Now at that feast, every year he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever the people desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection or mutiny or rebellion with him. He laid, they were all in jail, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, the people, crying aloud, began to desire Pilate to do as he had ever done to them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered Jesus for envy. But the chief priest had people among the people, and they moved the people that Pilate should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" That's what I would ask you about Jesus. Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, he was a people pleaser. He cared more what people thought than what God thought. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, the one who had committed murder, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now he's going to talk about what the scourging. And the soldiers led Jesus away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band of soldiers, and they clothed him with purple. They took his clothes off, and they put purple on him and said, "You're a king? Let's just treat you like a king." And they platted a crown of thorns. They said, "Oh, you need a crown. So we'll give you a crown of thorns." And they put it about his head. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed. And they did spit upon him. And bowing their knees, they mocked him and worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led Jesus out to crucify him. And they forced someone in the crowd named Simon, who was from Cyrus or Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, and he had two boys there, the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they made him carry the cross of Jesus. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but Jesus received it not. And when they had crucified him, they threw him down on this cross. They had already beaten his back. It was laid wide open. Nobody put any band-aids. Nobody kissed his boo-boos. And they threw him down on there, and then the soldiers held him down while another one took and nailed him to the cross, his hands and his feet. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots, throwing dice upon them. They gambled for his clothes, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. The third hour means it was 9 a.m. And they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over Jesus. They put a sign up over him, and it said, "The King of the Jews." And with him, they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by him railed on him, mocked him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him also. And when the sixth hour, noon, was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. When I was a kid, I was between fifth and eighth grade. And I remember there was a Minute Market, or what do y'all call them, a convenience store, about 3 blocks away. And I'd go down there and buy a Coke. And I went down there one Friday, to buy a Coke. And it was closed. And I was surprised, because it was open 7 days a week. And I was surprised. And so I went across the street to the gas station. And they were closed. And I looked around and all the businesses were closed. And it was amazing. I was like, what's going on? Why is it closed? I didn't know, because I was not a believer. But it was Good Friday. And when I was growing up, all the businesses used to close from noon to 3 on Good Friday because of what it says here. Because it was when Jesus was on the cross, and during those 3 hours, darkness, right in the middle of the day, darkness covered the whole earth. And at the 9th hour, 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Son of God. He had an eternal relationship with the Father. But at that moment, Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For He, Jesus, hath been made sin for us, who knew no sin," Jesus knew no sin, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." At that moment, God took all of our sin, the sin of every person ever born, ever going to be born, and He placed it on Jesus, and Jesus, being the man, took our sin upon Him. And that's why He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He knew what was going on. It was written down so we would think about those words. My God, why did you have to forsake Jesus? And He says, because of your sin. And some of them that stood by, verse 35, when they heard it, said, "Behold, He calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, gave up His life that you can't see that's inside. And the veil of the temple, which was very thick, was rent in twain or in two from the top to the bottom. In other words, it couldn't have been done by man. It had to be done by God. We'll talk about that another time. And when the centurion, the Roman soldier, which stood over against Jesus, saw that Jesus so cried out and gave up the ghost, the centurion said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when He was in Galilee, followed Him, and ministered unto Him, and many other women which came up with Him unto Jerusalem. And now, when the even was come, it was night, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if Jesus were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body of Jesus to Joseph. And Joseph bought fine linen and took Jesus down from the cross, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, a grave, which was hewn out of a rock, not in the ground, but out of like a cave, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre, the grave. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, behold where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was past, when Saturday was gone, now it's Sunday, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. We embalm people. You know, we do that. They came and anointed him with spices. Remember, at the beginning of this, there was a woman that had already done that for Jesus. Do you remember? While he was still alive. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, like today, they came under the sepulcher. No wonder they call it Sunday. It's his day. It's the day he got up. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came under the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who's going to roll away that stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was already rolled away, but it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted, scared. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, don't be afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you before. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, the grave. For they trembled and were amazed. They were shocked. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, the disciples, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed it not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked on the road to Emmaus and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, told it unto the believers, told it unto the disciples. Neither believed they them. Afterward, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat eating and sat at meat. And he upbraided them. He got on them. He jumped on their case because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. I want to ask you a couple of questions. As you listen to that story, did you see Jesus? Did you see Jesus? Did you realize what Jesus did for us? What Jesus went through? What if we had said, we had a young man named Alan, and his dad was a carpenter. And Alan was a carpenter like his dad. And one day, at the age of 30, he left his dad, left the business, and he went out and began to preach about God. And he went around doing miracles, and people are getting healed, and people's lives are being changed. But he's talking about coming to God. And we're talking about Alan, a young man, 33 years of age. 30 years of age, and he does this for 3 years. But meanwhile, the religious leaders get upset over what's going on. And they trump up charges against him and call him into court. And he's not even guilty. They can't even get people to agree. But the people of the land, even the leaders, they just want to, they'll just follow the people because people are afraid to take a stand anymore. We need to reach in our back and see if we got a backbone. Have enough backbone to stand up for what's right. If not, I'll pray for you to get one. Because I don't want you to be a jellyfish. Amen? And then Alan, he was taken put in jail wrongfully. And they took him and they said, we're going to kill him because we don't like what he's saying. We don't like what he's doing. He's not fitting in our group and he's ruffling our feathers and he's stealing all our people because everybody's following him. And we had control over him until he came along. And they killed him. Now what I'm saying, what would you do if that happened today? I'm trying to help you understand what Jesus did was very real. A very real situation of life, living daily, wrongfully taken, wrongfully judged. They didn't care what people said. They already had their mind made up. And they killed him. But you see, you can't keep a good man down. Jesus is like seed. They planted him and he came up. Jesus is alive. And he wants to live in you. Now, Richard came to this place. And Richard didn't know God. And Richard had a lot of things against him. But Richard experienced the real God here. He said, nobody else has liked me like this. Nobody else has put up with me like this. Nobody else just kept spending time with me like this. Nobody else laid their life down for me like this. And the Saturday before the Tuesday when he died, when he came in here, his sister-in-law and brother, they knew because Pastor Glenn and Roxanne had told him, we're going to have a party for him. Because his birthday isn't until May. But he's not going to make it till May. Matter of fact, the doctor told him. I told y'all last week. The doctor said he won't be on this planet another week. And that was on Sunday, and then on Tuesday, he got to go to be with Jesus. But on Saturday, when we had that party, his brother and sister-in-law were driving him around, because normally he came and hang out here every day, all day, like one of the chairs, just here, all day. Except he was not like a chair, because he pestered everybody, you know, and he was like, he was Richard. You know, we're going to love you just like you are. We're going to love you just like you are. And we're going to keep loving you when you're not lovely. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're going to keep loving you when you're not lovely, when you're not lovable, and when you're not loving. Because we're going to love you with the love of Jesus. We're just going to keep loving you and believing in you. Because God loves you and believes in you. And we told him he could do that here, and he thought we meant it. So he sent us you. To see if we meant it. Richard knew. That day, he didn't even want to come in the building because he wasn't feeling good. And his sister said, oh, you have to come in the building. Just say hi to everybody and then we'll leave. She was just trying to get him in the building. She told him there was something here in the store she had to come by before we sold it. Lied like a rug. Got him in the building. And Richard came and sat in that overstuffed easy chair right there, if you were here. He sat in that overstuffed easy chair, and there was about 50 people here. A bunch of you and some others. And Richard said, he walked in, he said, and there was balloons from the tables, and there was cake. And Richard said to his sister-in-law, they're having a party. She said, I think they are. And he came in, and he sat in that chair over there. And this guy's deathly ill. And all of you just went over there. I'm so pleased. Because you did that. And then when he was here, you just went over there and you loved on people, loved on him. And it impacted his family. They said, nobody has ever treated. They said, he never even wanted anybody. And he can't wait to get to your building every day. And that's why he would stay here all day long. It was his home. He found a home in Jesus. He's going to heaven. He's already in heaven. Are you? Are you ready? Are you 100% sure? Are you 100% sure? Do you want to know that you're going to heaven this morning? I'm going to end the service by saying this. You can leave. Church is done. I'm giving an invitation. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, I didn't ask if you have warm, fuzzy feelings or you know about Jesus in your head. I just said to a man yesterday that's a boss of mine in one of the businesses I'm in. And I said to him yesterday, I said, do you go to church? Oh, yeah, I go to. And he named a church, good church. He said, I've been going there 5 years. And I thought, surely the guy's saved, but I wouldn't think he was, but surely he must be saved. They've been going there 5 years. They preach the gospel. They're a good church. Resurrection Life. They got a few people over there, about 6,000. You know? And I said, so you know about Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and George W. Bush. I said, have you ever met them? He goes, nope. I said, did you know about Jesus? And he goes, yep. I said, you ever met him? And you should have seen the look on his face. Nope. You want to? Yep. Now, folks, this is Resurrection Sunday. That's what this whole church is about, is Jesus Christ. Everything else is details. What we're about is Jesus Christ and you knowing Jesus. And that's only when your life begins. It's an adventure. I tell people about my life all the time and they say, man, you live this adventure. I said, you could too. I can't stand North American Christianity, how shallow it is. I said, dude, I got to hang out with Jesus 24/7. See, what we talked about is your everyday life. Not just for you to get warm fuzzies here. That's just a taste. But how to live Jesus every day. And it starts with you meeting Him. Are you 100% sure that if you were to die right now, you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? If you're not, I want you to come up here because I want to help you get there. I want to introduce you to my Jesus. I want to tell you, I love you. I love you, and because of that, y'all told me. I said, you know, I tell you the truth. I said, y'all want me to quit doing that? Y'all want me to like sugarcoat it and pussyfoot around and just be all kind and say that? And y'all said, oh no, we want you to tell us the truth. Did you say that?
Yeah.
That's what you want. That's why you keep coming here, because that's what we're going to give you. What are you going to do with the truth today? Out of the mouth of babes. Father, I'm just committing all the people here in this place into your hands. Now, don't let any one of them get out of here without a hug. At least two or three hugs. I'd like to hug every one of them, but I'd like to hug them right into your breast, Jesus. I'd like to hug them into love. I'd like to hug them into heaven. I'd like to hug them into forgiveness. I'd like to hug them into that pure healing that you want to do in their hearts, their souls, their minds, so they wouldn't have things that they don't want to talk about or hear about or it makes them sad. They would learn how to deal with those things with you and be able to live in peace and joy and live in victory. Thank you so much that you got up from the grave. Thank you so much that you raised up Richard out of that body that was decaying, and you took him to live with you. And he knew it before he left the body. And Lord, I've known it for 37 years now. And I want each person in this room to know you as their own personal Savior. I commit them into your hand. I say, even if they leave, when they leave today, you follow them, you track them, you stalk them, God. And just keep dealing in their hearts and let them know how much you love them. so much that you were willing to break relationship with the Father, Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I just commit them into your hands, and I want you to be able to bring each one to a place where you could so richly bless them. You would be able to bless them more than any person on earth, because you'd be able to bless each one of them as if they were Jesus himself. And I say it and ask it in your precious name, Lord. Amen.